bringing you everything under the Disney umbrella. Network 1901.
Hey everyone, Shannon here. Welcome to a new kind of episode of Lipstick and Lightsabers. So for those of you guys who know me and Alex, or who maybe listened to our episode all about Kira, you'll know that we are not the biggest Thrawn fans. And because of that, we weren't going to cover Thrawn treason on the podcast. But Hope, who has been featured on the show, she shared her story with us. She's super awesome. She's one of the hosts of Jaggies and Jedis, decided to step up to the plate and provide us with her review of Thrawn Treason, which is super awesome, and I am very, very excited to share it with you guys. So be sure you go and check her out, and if you haven't yet, go listen to her Star Wars story because it is absolutely amazing. So without further ado, let's get to the review.
Hi, I'm Hope from Jaggies and Jedi. I'm here doing a fan report, fan review, fan segment, friend of the pod review, whatever they decide to call it. I'm here, and here we're going to talk about Thrawn Treason today. So when the wonderful ladies of Lipstick and Lightsabers were doing their Kira episode, they mentioned that they probably wouldn't go over Thrawn Treason. And I was just like, oh, I can talk about Thrawn Treason because I wrote like a 7-page review on the thing over on my website, geekygirlexperience.com. Probably not the last time in this. I'm going to self-promote myself, whatever. When I did my Star Wars story for Lipstick and Lightsabers a few months ago, I had talked about the one thing that I was most excited for this year was Thrawn Treason. And then the book came and then the book went. You know, it's hard to write really honest reviews and talk about something that you were looking so forward to for so long. And because I had, like, all these expectations in my head of what I wanted. And, like, these are some of my favorite characters. I love Karen Farrow. I love Eli Vanto. I love these characters. For me, when I went to go write my review, it was very daunting, too, because I haven't been in the Thrawn fandom that long. I've only just gotten to reading the EU stuff. I read Heir to the Empire. I'm 2/3 of the way through Dark Force Rising. So really, like, my love of Thrawn comes from Rebels, from the 2015 Thrawn, and from Thrawn Alliances. And that's really my bench point. And 2015 Thrawn really formed how I saw the character, because it was, like, my really first deep dive into that character. Which brings us to Thrawn Treason. I like a lot of parts of Thrawn Treason. A lot. I love Eli Vanto's return and his story. He has a great arc throughout the entire story. He's my precious-faced cowboy that I love. I listened to the majority of the book on audiobook, and I love Mark Thompson playing Eli Vanto. If they ever bring, for somehow, some way, bring Eli into the Filoniverse, I want Mark Thompson to voice Eli, because it's just such a joy to listen to him voice that character. I loved all the stuff with Aurelani. This was my first real exposure to Aurelani, and I want her to be my girlfriend. She's just smart, and she's bold, and she recognizes, like, when she needs to, like, let go of power and trust others, which I don't think other characters like Thrawn really do as often. And her crew clearly respects her. Aurelani is a great character. And I just, one of my favorite things in Star Wars is when Imperials snipe at each other. So I pretty much ate up every scene with Krennic and Tarkin. We have a great new character named Ronan, who's pretty much mini Krennic in a mini cape. And he's running around the Chimera causing trouble. And I really love that Timothy Zahn gave Ronan a very clear arc for him to grow and shine and change and kind of think about himself. Now, I could also talk for like 20 minutes about my girl Karen Farrow. But between 2015, Thrawn Alliances, and Thrawn Treason, Karen Farrow has had a very wonderful character arc between the three books. And I really appreciate watching her start, like, as a lower officer to become the Commodore of the Seventh Fleet. And it's just been such a joy to watch her grow. I really enjoyed a lot of individual moments of the book. There were, like, parts where I was cheering and there was laughing. I can't get over, like, Ronan's cape. Ronan's cape has, like, a major plot point in the thing. It's great. There's just like a bunch of little things. Most of all, there's Thrawn. Thrawn is really being himself. He's very Thrawn. He is the Sherlockian character that Zahn writes him as. And I don't care if Timothy Zahn said at Dragon Con last year that he didn't base Thrawn on Sherlock Holmes. I'm sorry. Thrawn is a Sherlockian character. I did an entire freaking panel about it at 221 BCon last year. You can find that panel on JGuys and Jedi. But yeah, like, Thrawn is the Sherlock Holmes of Star Wars, and he's written his stuff. And that's kind of where it ends. Like, there's a lot of really good character moments, but I had big problems with the actual story of Thrawn Treason. As I started reading Day 2, and I was a little halfway through the book, I just kind of felt like the book was fine. It was just fine. It was fine. It wasn't blowing me away. I didn't hate it. I was kind of just meh about the entire story. But I had a lot of hopes that, like, the book would get better at the end and it would be awesome. And then it didn't. Like Thrawn Treason is just fine the entire way through the book. Now that I look back at it, like, it's my least favorite of the three canon Thrawn novels. Because 2015 Thrawn set the bar. With Thrawn Alliances, I don't think Timothy Zahn set out to write a comedy, but he did, because that book is hilarious. It is a funny book, and I probably died laughing at least once a chapter, because it's just the sheer madness of Thrawn trolling Vader, and Anakin and younger Thrawn teaming up. There's just so much. And Alliance is just like a stupid wild ride. It feels like a fanfic. And I loved it because of that. It had a very fanfic feeling to it. And it was just crazy. Like, I probably have read that fanfiction of Thrawn and Vader have to team up, but what if Thrawn knew a secret about Vader? Read my 10-chapter fanfic. Like, that's what it felt like. So, like, when I got to, like, Treason after 2015 Thrawn setting the bar and Alliances being just a heck of a fun wild ride, I was really let down by Treason. And it was for actual, like, real issues with writing and plot and character moments and, like, unanswered questions while it raised more questions. So I had to think about it for a few days before I ever started writing my review. And if you're wondering, I'm pulling all these talking points from my review, so you can check that out at geekygirlexperience.com. But I talked with my best friend, who's also a big Thrawn fan, and she found issues with the book, too. And I talked with a lot of my different friends online. And some of my friends online really liked the book, and some of my friends online really hated the book. So I finally put my finger on what exactly it was about this book that could make or break Thrawn Treason for you. And what it comes down to is what you personally want in a Thrawn novel. Some of this comes back to expectations. Like, I had very clear things that I wanted to happen in this book, and they didn't happen. And that's on me, guys. That's my fault. Just because a piece of media doesn't meet what I want to see doesn't make it bad. Because sometimes media is just not what you want it to be, and that's fine, and that's what fan fiction is for. But there is some real issues of writing and character development and plot points that are very bland and boring and confusing, and they have no purpose being there because they don't do anything for the narrative. I want to get the first big one out of the way. The summary of the book states, as Thrawn works to secure his place in the Imperial hierarchy, his former protege Eli Vanto returns with a dire warning about Thrawn's homeworld. That never happened in the book! It never happened, as it's stated, as what they promoted to us for months and months and months. They promoted us this one story, and it didn't happen. The Chiss and Eli aren't even actively seeking out Thrawn. The Chiss and Thrawn just so happen to stumble upon each other, and they're all fighting, and Thrawn's just like, is that Arlani? And Arlani's on her ship going, is that Thrawn? And they're all like, hey, I was expecting you here. Cool, like, you're here, and like, let's go fight this thing. Like, the story that we were told would happen never happened. And there is no dire message from his homeworld. It's an accident that in a galaxy with tens of thousands of planets, that the Chiss with Eli happened to be in the one star system that Thrawn just happens to be investigating. The very premise that we got before the book ever came out is misleading. It's dictating the story is to be something entirely different. As I was reading the book, I was waiting and waiting for this dire warning to come from Eli, and it never came, and it left me really frustrated that for months and months leading up to the novel, I felt like I was lied to as a fan. And I don't know if this is Del Rey or Lucasfilms, but the novel summary set up a false premise of what the book actually would be. If you're going to promote a book, don't tell us a lie, because it ended up being something completely different. Now, my next thing is, I'm a very character over plot person. I've always been a character over plot person. I believe very good character work can carry every piece of media for me, even if the plot sucks. Looking at you, Once Upon a Time. I stayed in that show far too long, but I loved it. If you're a character-focused person, Thrawn Treason might not be for you. Thrawn Treason is a very, very plot-heavy book. There is barely any time for any of the characters to breathe. I'm not even sure how time actually passes in the book or if Thrawn ever sleeps, because the whole thing is Thrawn has a week to do a thing. It feels like by the time you reach the end of the book, like only 2 or 3 days have passed. It doesn't feel like a week has passed. So it's really, really weird. But like writing passage of time has never been Timothy Zahn's strong suit. He's also not really good at giving characters descriptions. I'm pretty sure Ronan is just a sentient cape walking around. So if you're a plot-focused person, you're probably going to really like this book a lot because it moves. This book moves. It's always moving. There's always something happening in this book. But if you're a character-focused person like I am, you're going to probably be really disappointed like me. And what an example of what I mean by plot over character work is, let's talk about the battle map for a second. There are huge chunks of this book that is just battle math. So if precise space battles and talks of coordinates and vectors and stuff like that is like your jam, then you're going to get a huge kick out of this book. You're going to love it because so much of the book is battle math. With me liking characters over plot, I just felt like I was back in math class again. What I mean by battle math is, if 6 TIE fighters are slingshot over the Chimera at this degrees and speed while heading towards these vectors, and then 12 TIE defenders come out of hyperspace at this vector at this degrees and speed, and the invisible cloaked cylinder drifting through real space at this speed, which will hit the Grisk ship first? The answer is I don't care. I don't care about this. Like, I don't care about pages upon pages upon pages of battle math. I just don't care. Because 2015's Thrawn and Thrawn Alliances both also had battle math too. But it didn't have so much of it. There is so much of it. Treason is just drenched in battle math. And it slows down the battle and the action scenes, and it makes them boring and very tedious to read, because I was too busy trying to figure out what was actually happening at what degrees and what vectors and where everything was, that it took away from the story. It took away from these big character moments, especially at the end. Like, there's a big climactic battle math scene. It just drains all the energy from that scene. And I had to fight the urge to skip entire pages, like paragraphs aside, but pages too, of battle math, just to get back to dialogue and character interactions that actually mattered for me. Like, battle math is fine in small amounts. Thrawn, 2015 Thrawn had a really good balance between like character and battle math. But with the quantity of it in Treason, it killed much of the quality. So like, yeah, Mr. Zahn, I understand that you know how to write a space battle, but I don't need to have so much of it, because what I care about is the characters. Let's look at Eli for a moment. Like, critically look at Eli. And again, like, I love Eli Vanto. I thought he had a great tale in Treason. I thought he had a great story, and he had a lot of good development. The plot of the story did Eli a lot of justice. But if you're invested in the Eli and Thrawn story of Thrawn 2015, then you're going to be really, really disappointed in this book, because there's not really much development in the Eli and Thrawn friendship. And I'm so sorry to my Thrawnto shippers, man, because you're going to be hella disappointed in this book. Because Eli spends the majority of the book wondering if Thrawn will even talk to him. He doubts that they just spent all this time together. They spent years and years together, and they went up through the ranks together, and Eli even wonders if they're friends anymore. Now granted, I understand, there's an entire plot that goes with this too. Eli, as a character, is very aware of the situation they're both in, because most of the Imperials on the Chimera see Eli as a traitor, so Thrawn does have to be very careful around Eli and the Chiss, and Eli does recognize this, so that in the narrative makes sense, and I'm okay with that. But then we get one scene. One scene where they're alone together, and it's nothing. Like, there's nothing of their friendship. Thrawn asks Eli about his mission to the Chiss, and then he leaves Eli. It's not two very long-time friends touching base or checking in with each other. It doesn't feel like all the wonderful character work of 2015 Thrawn, where you could easily tell at what point in their friendship they were, no matter what. Like, at any point in the book, in 2015's Thrawn, you knew exactly where Eli and Thrawn's friendship stood. And as a reader, like, I'm not even sure if they're friends anymore, because no one's sure in the book either. Because it's clear that Thrawn trusts Eli and respects Eli, but in Thrawn Treason, he treats him more like a district manager talking to an employee at a job. Like, there's just no friendship. And I'm not looking for some, like, huge My Little Pony musical about friendship and stuff like that. That's not this book. But even just, like, little character lines of Thrawn saying something like, "It's really good to see you again, Eli. I'm glad you're safe." Like, that's all it needed, like, in the novel. Like, I would happily swap a single line of dialogue where Thrawn's just like, "It's great to see you again. I'm glad you're doing so well." I'd rather have that than, like, pages of battle math that I really don't care about. And I do like Zahn. But Zahn is not an emotional writer, and it's easy to see where his strengths are with, like, writing strategic battles and playing with every Sherlockian trope in the book while writing Thrawn, but it made Treason feel very dated. Like I said, I'm a really new Thrawn fan. Like, I've just been in it since Rebels. So when I read Heir to the Empire the first time, spoiler alert, I really don't like the book. I'm going to say, like, I understand and I recognize the importance of Heir to the Empire in fandom. I understand why it was important, how it was the big kickoff to the EU. I understand that. But it feels like a book from the 90s. Like, Heir to the Empire feels incredibly dated. It does not feel like a book that reads well in 2019 when I read it for the first time. It's just a very dated book with a lot of dated tropes and a lot of things that just don't really work now in, like, today's media. It has a lot of things that don't really work in today's Star Wars. And that's what Thrawn Treason felt like to me. It felt like Heir to the Empire. Like, the things that I really hated about Heir to the Empire is what Thrawn Treason was. It didn't work in 2019. Which is really disappointing, because Zahn can write really meaningful relationships, too. There's a reason that 2015's Thrawn, that Thrawn and Eli are such a big part of it. And their characters are really well done. You know their friendship, you understand their story. So it feels like Treason is just a backslide from Thrawn 2015 from 4 years ago, when it comes to these characters. And the only thing, like, I keep coming back to is I'm wondering if Zahn purposely downplayed them in response to the rise of the Thronto ship. Because the Thronto ship has really taken over a lot of the Thrawn narrative in the current canon ever since 2015. And it's because it's such a drastic shift. It's not like a little shift. It's a huge shift. Like, it feels purposeful. I'm starting to get to the point where, while I like Zahn and I understand, I kind of want to see someone else tackle the character of Thrawn. I think it's time. I would love to see someone like Claudia Gray write a Thrawn novel. I think Claudia Gray would write a wonderful Thrawn novel. Like, I loved Master and Apprentice. She has a great balance of writing fighting scenes and strategy and intrigue. And she writes male relationships really well, too. So I think if Claudia Gray had written Thrawn Treason, it would be a very different story. And so some of the other characters kind of felt short, too. Like, Karen suffered a lot of shortcomings when it came to plot work. So, like, for example, like, the novel sets up early that Karen's not supposed to ask about Eli's whereabouts. And she wonders at times, like, what Thrawn did to Eli, but she's not allowed to talk about it. And so when Eli comes to the Chimera, we never got that scene with Karen and Eli, who also went up through the ranks together, and they've known each other for years. Like, we've never got that. We don't get the scene where Eli walks onto the Chimera. We don't get to see Karen's reaction to his arrival. So, like, is she surprised? Is she happy to see her friend? Is she angry at Thrawn? Is she angry that Thrawn hid this from her? Does she have to downplay all these feelings because Eli's a quote-unquote traitor? We don't know. And this wouldn't be a problem. This normally wouldn't be a problem in the novel if the actual narrative of the book didn't bring it up. The book actually brings up this thing, because Karen actually specifically says at the end that she wished she got to say goodbye to Eli, meaning at some point they saw each other in the novel. And we don't get that moment, so plot, don't refer to scenes earlier in the book that actually aren't there. That scene could have been awesome for Karen, because Karen spends a lot of the novel doubting Thrawn, and having Eli come back could have strengthened Karen's narrative or character in the book, or like really made her doubt Thrawn more. Like, it could have been a really, really beautiful book. But all the character work with Eli and Karen doesn't matter in compared to Thrawn's lack of character development, which is probably my other big problem with the book. I want to state again that I have a lot of expectations for Thrawn Treason, especially what the treason was in the title, Thrawn Treason. And again, that's on me for wildly speculating. But if I'm allowed to speculate a little bit, we need to go back to one of the final scenes of 2015's Thrawn, which dropped a huge bombshell that changed Thrawn's entire character for me. He told a character named Night Swan that he infiltrated the Empire to either strengthen it or to weaken it from the inside. That moment alone made me wonder everything about his characters, because in a post-Rebels world, I started wondering about his entire character of art of Rebels. Did all the little battles he lost in Rebels, did he lose them because he was trying to lose on purpose for his true mission? Was Thrawn actually a villain or even a hero on the wrong side? This point where Thrawn is there to either strengthen or destroy the Empire from the inside never came up in Thrawn Alliances. So when I first heard the title, Thrawn Treason, this 2015 reveal was the first thing that came to my mind. It seemed like the perfect place to bring up that moment and to deep dive into it. Well, it didn't happen. So I'm guessing you're starting to see a pattern of disappointment here. So if we can, like, look back at the summary for a second, there's a sentence also in the summary that says, Thrawn's mastery of strategy must guide him through the impossible choice, duty to the Chiss ascendancy, or fealty to the Empire that he's sworn to serve. Even the right choice means committing treason. This insinuates that a difficult choice will be made, but Thrawn doesn't do anything treasonous in the book. The traitor was someone else, and Thrawn just Sherlocked his way through the end. He wasn't out of character at all from any of the previous books when it came to balancing the Chiss with the Empire. Like, there was no treason. Which brought up another, like, plot thing that really peeved at me, which was Thrawn Treason and Thrawn Alliances are the exact same plot. Treason is the exact same plot as Alliances. So if you look at Thrawn Alliances, pretty much the book is like Vader going, oh, Thrawn. Oh, let me actually do a Vader voice. Thrawn Alliances basically went like this. Thrawn, you're a traitor. And Thrawn's just like, no, I'm not. I'm just going to serve the Empire. And then Vader's just like, oh, Thrawn, but your people are here. That makes you a traitor. And Thrawn's just pretty much like, I can help my people and the Empire at the same time. It doesn't make me a traitor, and I can do it like this. And then there's some battle math, and he's like, and this is what happens, and he's a Sherlock Holmes character. And he's like, see, I'm not a traitor. And Vader's just like, oh man, I guess that's right, but I still don't like you. And then Palpatine comes in just like, oh you, I have my eye on you. We'll talk about this later, now go do your thing and we'll figure it out. That was the plot of Thrawn Alliances. The plot of Thrawn Treason has Ronan going, oh, Thrawn, you're a traitor. No, I'm not, but your people are here. So I can help both the Empire and my people at the same time. But your people are here, that makes you a traitor. Well, Ronan, I'm going to solve the day, and there's Grisk in both books as well, and we're going to beat it like this. And Ronan goes, oh, well, I still don't like you. And Thrawn goes, that's cool, bro. And then Palpatine at the end is just like, oh, we'll talk about this later, Thrawn. I have my eye on you. And Thrawn's just like, okay, bye. Like, they're the treason and alliance are the exact same plot. The only difference is in the details. And treason's just a much less fun version of Thrawn. Because of that, like, Thrawn wasn't ever really challenged in this book. With alliances, Vader always loomed off to the side of Thrawn. We knew that Thrawn wasn't going to die in Thrawn Alliances, but the rest of the crew was always in danger of being shanked by a lightsaber. the book had so much built-in tension with Vader's very presence just being there. If Thrawn slipped up once, he could lose the entire, like, crew of the Chimera, or just even a single person. He could have lost Karen or Hammerly or any of them on the Chimera. Treason doesn't have that challenge for Thrawn. He's just Sherlocking his way through the story with ease. Which is why I think, like, bringing up the 2015 bombshell about him strengthening the Empire or weakening it could have really made the story pop. If, like, if that somehow came out, or if we got the actual story that Del Rey and or Lucasfilms or whoever promoted the book with, and Eli actually brought a dire warning from his homeworld that would actually challenge Thrawn's loyalties, it would have made the book really, really great. But Thrawn never had to make any hard choices. The entire book is a missed opportunity. Because if you've seen the finale of Rebels, you know that within a few days of the end of the story, Thrawn is about to be taken away by the Purrgil. The book could have made him choose either the Empire or the Chiss Ascendancy to put him in the mindset of, well, whatever I choose, this Lothal thing is going to make or break me. And then the Space Whales come. If he chose the Empire, then he could be in the Unknown Regions now with Space Whales and Ezra to where he has to face the Ascendancy. But if he chose his people, then he has an out with the Space Whales. What it really boils down to, like, what was the supposed treason in Thrawn Treason? Like, I would have loved to see the title character actually have to make some hard choices, because Thrawn never has to make a hard choice, and there are no consequences for him to have to live with because of the Rebels finale. Which brings me to the epilogue. Spoiler alert to the epilogue. I'm going to tell you this right now. Spoiler alert. This is your last warning. I'm about to talk about the epilogue. Ready? Here we go. Why couldn't the epilogue be from Thrawn's point of view? Because the epilogue is from the Emperor's point of view. It's all from Palpatine's point of view. Why can the epilogue be from Thrawn's point of view? Especially, unlike the previous two books, we're barely in Thrawn's head this third time around. 2015 Thrawn introduced us to Thrawn's thoughts, allowing us to see his process. We're actually looking at his point of view. And Alliances gave us Thrawn constantly analyzing Vader, trying to figure him out. But in Thrawn Treason, we only get a handful of scenes in Thrawn's head. The epilogue could have brought home the entire novel, showing the audience where Thrawn's mind was about the Empire and about the Chiss and about where his thoughts truly lie. It could have been a twist ending, like, this is what Thrawn was doing the entire novel, but this is where he actually stands on the Empire, and these are his actual thoughts, and these are his final decisions about his real mission to the Chiss just days before the Purrgil come. The epilogue could have been the setting for the Rebels finale, and it could have given us a look at Thrawn's process going into it, and it was just a huge missed opportunity. What it really boils down to with Thrawn Treason is, I don't think this was a needed book. I don't think we actually need Thrawn Treason. It didn't do anything. I don't feel like there were many fans clamoring for the adventures of Thrawn in the four episodes he was missing from season four of Rebels. I would have been happier to wait even longer for something like the Thrawn Ezra story. I know Zahn can't touch that right now because he has to wait to see what Dave Filoni has to do, but don't give us a story that wastes my time, that doesn't do anything, that doesn't really add anything to the overall arc narrative of Thrawn. It didn't do anything. There was no treason. The character work was not great, and it was boring. And all this said, like, I feel like this book is a setup. It's a setup for something that we don't know because it hasn't come out yet. And I'm sure with time, when we get more and more canon material coming out, I'm sure Thrawn Treason is going to make more sense in the big scheme of things. And maybe Zahn is setting up for a novel to reintroduce the Chiss Ascendancy properly into the canon, which would be awesome. Eli would be a great audience point of view character for a story about the Chiss Ascendancy, where he is the person that's going to the Chiss and looking and seeing it for the first time. It would be a really good way of setting it up. But currently, on its own, without really any context, Thrawn Treason just falls very flat for me, because it's a fine book, but it's nothing we haven't seen before. It's just completely fine. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just fine. Thanks for listening to me, guys. If you want to see my full review, a lot of it, which I paraphrased, it's over on geekygirlexperience.com. You can hear me over at Jay Guys and Jedi Podcast, where we talk Filoniverse every week. And thank you, Shannon and Alex, for letting me give my review. Bye, guys.